Hello and welcome to episode 75 of MMO Weekly, presented as always by Chitty's Cheesesteaks. I'm your host, Sal Manzo, along joined this week by our super producer, now joined co-host, John Luke. John Luke, thanks so much for coming on, and I guess you must be good luck, because about 30 seconds before we were about to press record on a show we had planned, JD Martinez decided to sign with the Mets. 1 year, $12 million. Obviously, this is a DH that the Mets have badly needed for a few years here now. I think really solidifies the lineup, but we should probably plan it like this all the time when a big signing happens right before we tape. I think this worked out very nice.
I agree. First off, thank you guys for having me again. It's nice to be in front of the camera this time. Seems like good things tend to happen when I come on the show. So maybe in the off season, I'll have to come on right before Juan Soto signs with the Mets, you know, but it's funny you say that, because we're literally as getting ready to prepare. I went to go grab my headset and my microphone, and then I look at my phone and it says he signs for 12 mil. Wow. I think it's a really solid move by David Stearns, truth be told.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know, Mike and I have talked for a long time this offseason and last couple of years really about how the Mets have, you know, needed to solidify themselves with the DH. They really used it as a way to rest players and ask certain players to do that role that weren't really something they were accustomed to doing or the type of player that they were. And I think it really hurt them, not only in 22, but, you know, obviously last year, everything hurt them. But, this is probably the best protection Alonso's going to get in a long time. As far as in the lineup's concerned, he's probably excited, but just a move that the Mets needed to make here. And for, you know, a team that isn't very heavy with starting pitching, I don't think the starting staff is going to be setting any records this year. This is a team that was going to have to score a lot of runs and hopefully hold the lead to Edwin Diaz to the ninth inning. The bullpen would have to kind of do that. So, you know, this is a step in the right direction here, I think, for a lineup that, like I said, I think you hope you're going to have to, you know, slug out a lot of games this year as far as the offense really carrying them. We'll see what happens with the starting staff. But I think this is just a great start and something that, you know, another aspect of it is if the Mets aren't, you know, in the race, say, you know, at the trade deadline, this is a player that for 1 year, $12 million for as a rental player that they can then flip. And replenish the farm system as well. So I think it's a win-win in that regard, no matter what.
Right. And just looking at the logistics of how, you know, how the team is going to use him and what that means for a guy like Vientos or, you know, even a guy like Tyrone Taylor. Sorry. I have to stop mixing up my quarterbacks with my outfielders, but it's a solid move, like you said, you know, in terms of protecting Alonso, because I think that's something we've been asking for as fans over the last couple of years, is to try and give Pete a decent bat to be protected with. And, you know, off the top of my head, I can't really think of anyone, you know, maybe Alvarez towards the end of last year, but you still want to have that legitimate threat. You know, you look at a lot of contending teams and even like the Los Angeles Dodgers, for example, using a guy like JD Martinez to help protect guys like Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts. So when you look at a guy like JD, who, you know, we'll just run through his stats real quick. You know, he had a 1.9 wins above replacement, 33 home runs, 271 batting average with 103 RBIs. Just those stats alone, you put that on last year's team, and we might have a completely different ballgame. Now, I know the pitching is another story, but one of the things that this team has seemingly lacked is power from the right side outside of Alonso. Now that we're getting that with Alvarez, we're getting that with JD Martinez now. And I think for years, his name has been rumored with the Mets. It's kind of, this reminds me of when Orlando Hudson was rumored to be a Met for every year from 2004 all the way to the time he retired. So I really like this move a lot. He can play some outfield if needed, but this is a purely DH move. And then also to briefly touch, you know, what does this mean for Mark Vientos? You know, we've touched on it a lot on MMO on the website, myself included. I've written a lot of pieces about him. He's had flashes of power, but the batting average isn't really up there yet. You know, it kind of seems like he's a very, you know, hit or miss type of guy. So this might give him some sort of, let's say, breathing room. And then it also kind of figures out now, is he going to play third base? Is he going to play left field? What does that mean for Brett Beatty? But this is a good problem to have, because now you have reinforcements to come and stabilize a team that could possibly fight for a wild card spot this year.
Yeah, I think you made a good point as far as with Vientos. I think part of it too is now, you know, you take pressure as far as off of him, as far as really trying to carry the load now is that everyday DH. I don't think it was something that he's necessarily, you know, I don't want to say that he's ready to do, but I don't think that's something that he's shown that he can do, you know, for a long period of time. Obviously, like you mentioned, he has other positions as far as third base, left field. I know he's been working at first base. He's kind of really a positionless guy too. Which, you know, I guess doesn't help things, which kind of made him, you know, more of a DH role. But obviously with the consistency that you get from Martinez, is something you really can't, you know, put into words that the Mets have been missing for a while, like we've, you know, touched on here a lot now. And just as far as you mentioned Alvarez, you mentioned Beatty, even if Vientos, you know, bringing in a guy like JD Martinez could probably help those young guys as well, just learning as far as his approach. He's a guy that struggled in the beginning of his career when we, you know, with Houston, turned things around, you know, really changed his career once he went to Detroit and kind of became the player that we know now. So, you know, I think from that regard, too, can only help as far as, you know, leadership and helping a guy, especially like Alvarez, you know, mature into, you know, the hitter that we're, you know, seeing this spring and, you know, hoping that we're going to, you know, see for many years to come here.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'll say this, you know, it is a tough task to ask, you know, kids who are, you know, still pretty raw, you know, in the grand scheme of things. And I think this definitely works out in the, you know, in the plan that David Stearns has, because if you look at the way a lot of his teams have been built, there've been a lot of veteran stopgaps in terms of who's playing at certain positions. And then the youth kind of takes over the following year. So now that Beatty and Vientos have already had a couple of seasons under their belt and a couple of spring trainings under their belt, they're able to kind of, you know, not have as much pressure on them, you know, because now if you looked at the lineup beforehand, you know, you had Pete and then it was, you know, Vientos kind of taking that DH spot or Brett Beatty kind of getting thrown into the third base role. But what now this allows the Mets to do, not also, it allows them to kind of put the, you know, put the brakes on them, ease them up a little bit. If somebody's struggling, somebody can come in and JD can kind of be that sort of stabilizing influence, so to speak. And then, you know, if they don't re-sign him for next year and they're, you know, finding their way through the major leagues, then in 25, when the team decides to spend more money, not only on pitching, they already have that experience under the belt. And that's a great point that you made about JD in terms of when he started his career with the Astros, because he was, if I think about it, really, he is essentially what Mark Vientos is right now, except Vientos has slightly more power, like natural power. Sure. JD is a really good hitter, and that translates to also, you know, his power too, you know. But Vientos is more of the raw power prospect. JD, you know, really, his power came from him hitting the ball. So, and obviously, you know, guy's super strong too. You don't hit 33 home runs for no reason, obviously, but you know, so they are a very similar type of player, so this will definitely benefit him. And barring any sort of really big trade, I think this move ultimately benefits both him and Beatty, truth be told.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I would imagine the Mets kind of looked at where they were as far as their options at DH again with Vientos, G-Man Choi, Luke Voit. I would imagine that they, you know, didn't feel, as far as what they've said publicly, but probably didn't feel too comfortable kind of rolling with that. And obviously, they probably wanted the right deal with Martinez. They didn't probably, I would assume they didn't want to go more than 1 year considering his age and everything like that and where they are. You know, and $12 million for a player that had 134 OPS plus last year and almost 250 total bases, like you said, I think at 38, 39, whatever his age is now, it's up there. But that's, you know, really productive, you know. I don't know if you want to take it with a little bit of grain of salt, just only because the NL West is kind of hitter friendly of a division, but I don't imagine that that productivity is going to drop off really that much at all. And like you said, you know, besides the power, he is just a professional, one of the better hitters of his generation, and that those kind of tools don't diminish that quickly. And you know, just the like we've talked about the protection with Pete and just lengthens out the lineup now, because, you know, like we were kind of talking about, just their options there were pretty thin. So I think that they obviously made the right move. I'm sure, you know, the fan base is probably great, you know, excited to hear about it. And, you know, we'll see what happens there. And obviously, another thing too, I guess, is you talked about Brett Beatty. Obviously, they're much more willing to give him the run at third base and let him figure it out more this year as far as Vientos carrying that load at DH, which I agree with, honestly. I think that they have to figure out what they have with Beatty. It's more important to figure that out than probably trying to see, you know, rolling with 500 bats with Vientos as DH. So I think they made the right move all around there. And, you know, I want to transition that a little bit, I guess. We're talking about the lineup here. I mentioned before the starting staff, you know, is not something I think a lot of people are talking a lot about, as that to be, you know, super successful or is going to really carry the load this year. That being said, the Mets did name a fifth starter for the year. It is going to be Tylor McGill. And as a friend joked to me, he'll have a 1.10 ERA in April. In May, he'll balloon up to 5, and then in June, he'll be on the IL, which kind of is his MO the last few years. But listen, he's pitched well to start spring. You know, obviously some injuries we know, you know, change some things as far as, especially, you know, mostly with Senga, kind of with everything with the starting rotation, but they have filled it out. Hopefully he could, you know, be productive for, you know, a decent stretch of time there on the back end. But, you know, in general, the Mets starting staff, I believe has one of the lowest ERAs so far in spring training. Again, huge grain of salt because half the people they're pitching to, you're never going to see. In the major leagues for the rest of the year, most likely it's spring training. We know that, but, guys like Luis Severino, Sean Manaea had a good outing the other day. Christian Scott, who's someone a lot of fans have probably heard about the last couple of years, as far as in the minor leagues, he's having a very good spring. You know, just want to get your thoughts a little bit on this starting staff, springtime here. And if you think that they could possibly maybe surprise a couple of people come the season here.
So I think they do. And this is why I think that, so if you look at kind of the way that guys were approaching at bats last season and just kind of the way the pitching staff was sort of going about things last year, was it just kind of seemed like they just threw something at a wall and see if it stuck. There wasn't really a plan in place, so to speak. And one of the best things that I think, me personally, and I'm sure a lot of other Met fans can agree, is the implementation of the pitching lab. And you know, unfortunately, we couldn't really see the results of that with a guy like Scherzer or with a guy like Verlander, because by the time that pitching lab really came into fruition, it was only being really used in AAA and it wasn't being utilized in the major leagues just yet. But you have a guy like McGill, and you even have a guy like a David Peterson who used that pitching lab in Syracuse to not only come back to the major leagues after the trading deadline and actually put up decent performances. They weren't as gaudy as they were at the beginning of the season. And so now you take that and you now have it with everybody, and it, and we're reaping the results of it so far in terms of, you know, and like you said, grain of salt, obviously, because it is spring training. But and also, it just also, you look at the acquisitions that the team has gotten in the offseason. They've gotten players who know how to pitch. And I think that's vital, because I think in today's major league, over the years, we've kind of gotten away from, and Chris Bassitt really speaks about this a lot, is management have gone away from getting people who know how to pitch and these guys just throw hard. And granted, we're not, I'm not taking away of that whatsoever, because throwing 100 miles per hour, 102, 103 is definitely a good thing. But major league hitters know how to hit that. And if you can't mix it up or have a different weapon in your repertoire, then you're just going to end up like a Noah Syndergaard and just throw hard and just get shelled every time you go out there. You know, Aroldis Chapman didn't throw 103 without having a devastating slider. Same thing with Edwin Diaz. Edwin Diaz can throw 102, but he has a wicked slider and a couple other secondary pitches too. Same thing with Josh Hader. They throw hard, but they have good secondary pitches. So when you look at these guys like a Quintana, like an Adrian Hauser, like a Luis Severino, these guys all have raw tools that make them good pitchers. The problem is they haven't been handled properly. So I, you know, at the beginning of the offseason, I was thinking, man, we need like a guy to stabilize this rotation. But the more I began to think about it, and the more that I began to look at, you know, and last season I profiled a lot of Quintana starts. And I think one of my last pieces before the end of the season last year was highlighting the consistency that Quintana had after he came back from his cancer treatment and his injury. So I think now that we've got a full season under that, and you know, we've got the pitching lab coming in and the philosophy is different, I feel that It may not be as good as it is in the spring, but I feel like a lot of this will carry over. There's a lot of good signs with Minaya, a lot of good signs with Severino. You thought that he would have gotten, you know, shelled everywhere he went, but he looks, he looks good, you know? And the same thing in Quintana, McGill, and even guys like Christian Scott, like you said, even guys, you know, some of these young guys that are coming up, they all look like they're utilizing their tools to the best of their ability. Obviously, some of the younger guys may need to have it kind of tweaked a little bit because of their growth, but I have this weird sense of confidence that, you know, and then when Kodai Senga comes back, you know, they're, you know, it was discussed that they might use him for a six-man rotation. And I think for this season, that's perfect because now not only do you have, I don't want to say limited mileage on the guy, but you can get a lot out of him on 6 days. And that was proven last year. He did pretty well on 6 days rest. And then you can experiment with other guys. So I think the Mets this year are in a prime chance to really surprise a lot of people. The bullpen, that's kind of a hit or miss, but they've gotten a lot better lately. But in terms of just the starting rotation, I think they might surprise a lot of people, and it's not going to be as dire as most think. A lot of these guys are professionals and they know how to go about their routines. And I think the Mets have given them the tools to succeed.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, they it was on purpose that they signed a lot of, you know, low floor, high ceiling kind of starters with what their plan is for this year. And, the, you know, as far as the, you know, what transition, whatever you want to call it. But I agree. It's, you know, it seems like, you know, they got some guys that, you know, can have, like I said, a higher ceiling and could surprise some people. You talked about kind of that pitchability. And, you know, I think a good example of that is this Fujinami. That guy throws harder than anyone, but outside of his first outing this spring, really hasn't been able to find the strike zone. And you see, you know, the troubles that kind of plagued him, you know, last year in Oakland and then, you know, with the Orioles. So, you know, things like that, you know, go a long way if you could throw as hard as you can, but if you can't find the strike zone, you're not going to have a lot of success there. So, you know, it's agree there as far as finding, utilizing the stuff that they have and being able to command it. And you mentioned Edwin Diaz. I want to just touch on him a little bit. Obviously, we know what happened last year with the knee, but, you know, so far this spring, outside a couple of hitters, whatever so far, but he looks like he's going to be right where he left off as one of the best, if not the best closer in baseball. Struck out the side his first outing since the injury. I think he said even he was pretty surprised at how that went. But outside of that, you know, he's pitched well. You know, command, you know, I think is a little hit or miss so far. I think in a second outing, he might have walked a couple of guys, which doesn't really do much. But, you know, the stuff looks like it's there. He looks like he's healthy, which is the biggest thing. And, you know, if the Mets can have a healthy Edwin Diaz and they can get a couple of people to just get him a ball with the lead, this team could still win a lot of ball games, I think.
Oh, no, 100%. And you noticed it last year after he got hurt. And, you know, the Diaz injury hurt me twofold, being a Puerto Rican and a Mets fan. It was nice to see, you know, him close it out against Dominican Republic. Sure. But we definitely could have used him in that game against Mexico. But, you know, and then, you know, you can also sense kind of like it was very deflating, so to speak. You know, I was there for opening day and it was kind of weirdly bittersweet to see him there, and they played Narco and everything, but then you just kind of missed it throughout the year, you know? So coming into the spring, I was not that I was worried. I was just more of looking at it, you know, with caution because, you know, the guy hadn't pitched in almost a year. He ramped up a little bit towards the end of the season, but you know, they were out of it, so no reason for them to get him to any action. But then just looking at him on the mound being dominant outside of a couple of hiccups here and there, I have no doubt that, you know, he will just be back to form. And this actually goes into what I was saying before, is that the pitching lab might also help him as well. And you look at the guys in between Diaz. You know, you have guys like Fujinami, like you mentioned, and then, you know, a guy like Adam Ottavino, you know, if they can just get it to a point where he can come in and just kind of keep it stable, then he's going to be fine. I have no doubt in my mind that Edwin Diaz is going to dominate and be one of the best closers in the league this year. There really isn't much to say. He's shown it. He's proved it. And I think he's going to come out with a bang once again. And I'll tell you, it's just going to be so nice to hear Narco again. You know, they added the LED lights at City Field. They're going to try and, you know, do some sort of trickery with it. So it's going to be nice to be in the building one of those days when he finally comes in and makes that happen. I have no problem, no trepidation, no doubt that Edwin Diaz is going to do well. And I honestly think just him being on the team alone, you know, like I mentioned, they can surprise us. I think he's going to make a huge difference. And you can tell that, you can feel the difference from last year into this year. It's just nice to have him there, because last year there were many games that I've attended myself, because I am a season ticket member, where you kind of just wish you had that there, you know, where the trumpets came out and he was just dominant. Sure. But no, we're throwing out Adam Ottavino on a second day. And no disrespect to Adam, I like him a lot, but, you know, can't really throw him on a back-to-back because, you know, they kind of figure him out easy. So, again, I think Edwin's going to be fine. It's going to be so awesome, and I can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just – it's a shot in the arm. Just knowing that that guy's, you know, lurking in the ninth inning when you have a lead, it changes everything. And, you know, like you said, it was just kind of a bad omen to start the year. It just took the wind out of the sails before the season even started, and it just kind of spiraled from there. So just to have him in camp healthy and good spirits on the mound is great, like you said. And, you know, it's excited to see him closing out ball games again, coming out to Narco and all that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And also Jeff McNeil is finally playing spring training games. So that's great to see. I think everyone was getting a little nervous coming down to the wire here with spring training. It's good to see him getting at bats and played a couple innings in the field, I think, as well. So, you know, that's good to see that he should be ready for opening day there as well. But this is rounding out. We're a week out from opening day. The roster seems pretty rounded out now with the signing of JD Martinez, at least especially the lineup. So I think this is what we're going to be seeing here from our 2024 Mets. So I think that's a good a spot to wrap it up here. And we'll catch you next week. Hopefully do a preview before the season begins. If not, we'll catch you after the first weekend. But John Luke, thanks as always for coming on. And as always, everybody, let's go Mets.